US has more people in prisons and jails than any other country in the world. 2.2 million inmates. And correctional centers are so crowded that a court in California ruled it was impossible to provide adequate medical care. That state, California, was under orders to release more than 9,000 inmates by the end of last year. Lawsuits over prison care are also pending in other federal states, including Virginia, where Sandy Houseman reports on why some prisoners convicted of minor crimes are losing their lives behind bars.
Virginia's Department of Corrections prohibits recording of interviews in many of its prisons, but inmates who were recently released paint an alarming picture of neglect and indifference. 47-year-old Stephen Jowers recalls what happened to his friend Fly when they were locked up at the Indian Creek Correctional Center.
The doctor at Indian Creek said, oh, well, it's nothing wrong with you. I watched him lose like 50 pounds in like 3 months. And Fly was sick. And they took him to the infirmary and he never came out. And he died like a month later of pancreatic cancer, stage 4. They never went and tested him. They never did anything. 3 weeks later, a friend of mine, Gary Graves, went to medical and says, I'm having chest pains. I'm not feeling well. And they gave him 2 Advil and told him to sign up for sick call and send him back to the building. Well, at 5:30 in the morning when they woke everybody up for count, he was dead. He had a heart attack during the night.
Horror stories also come from the state's main prison for women. Abigail Turner, a lawyer for the Legal Aid Justice Center, has filed suit on behalf of several inmates, including 47-year-old Darlene White, who died behind bars.
She was a severe diabetic. Her blood sugar levels were very, very high. A number of the women prisoners could see her and kept asking for help. And they reported that later a nurse tried to insert an IV tube, and at that point, Ms. White was unresponsive.
Another patient, Gina Wright, complained to the prison nurse about intense abdominal pain and rectal bleeding for a full year before having a thorough exam.
She was finally referred to the University of Virginia. There she was diagnosed with stage 4 abdominal cancer, and she died in April of 2012.
It's impossible to say how many prisoners may be at risk because of inadequate care. Virginia gets about 2,000 complaints from inmates each year, but jailers cite the need for medical privacy in refusing to discuss individual cases, and they rarely admit being at fault when prisoners die. 10 years ago, Virginia's chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union issued a report on prison health care, complaining of deliberate neglect, unnecessary deaths, botched surgeries, and policies that put costs above the health and welfare of patients. Since then, ACLU attorney Hope Emescada says nothing has changed.
It seems to have gotten worse. We don't know a lot, and what we do know is not good.
Under international law, prisoners in all countries are entitled to treatment comparable to what's available in the general community. And U.S. courts have ruled that the denial of care constitutes cruel and unusual punishment, which is prohibited under the United States Constitution. Part of the problem may be the indifference of jailers, and crowding is clearly an issue. But Hope Emescada sees one other potential problem. Care at many facilities is provided by a private, for-profit company. Nashville-based Corizon has contracts for 500 prisons and jails in 29 U.S. states.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that their mission is to make money. They're a for-profit company. It may be cynical of me to say this, but you can't make more money unless you cut services and treatment and staff.
Corizon refused our request for an interview, but on its website, the company claims to keep expenses down through economies of scale, emphasis on preventive medicine, and efficiencies it's developed as a firm focused solely on correctional care.
Serving the medical needs of a prison population is complex. We understand.
Corizon says it saves prisons and jails an average of 15% on medical services and has an excellent record of fighting off lawsuits, with 91% of inmates who sue getting no compensation. Staffing varies from state to state, prison to prison. But Virginia has just 40 doctors to care for 30,000 prisoners. It depends day to day on about 700 nurses, and some of them hold licensed practical degrees, which require as little as 1 year of training. Mental health care is also questionable, with just 14 psychiatrists for those 30,000 inmates. Mark Maurer, executive director of the Sentencing Project, a nonprofit that does research and lobbies for alternatives to prison, says most correctional centers
are unprepared to deal with a psychiatric tsunami.
About one of every six people in prison has a history of mental illness. Generally speaking, the level of mental health care is very inadequate. Issues are not diagnosed very well. The level of care available is pretty minimal. Oftentimes, it's dealt with through medication without a lot of individualized attention.
In county or city jails, the situation may be even worse. Harvey Yoder is a clergyman and family counselor who often visits the Harrisonburg, Virginia Regional Jail. When inmates there are deemed suicidally depressed, they're placed in an isolated, padded cell.
A person is stripped of their clothing and given a paper gown to wear, and the cell itself has nothing in it whatsoever. No mattress or anything. Your food is given through a slot in the door without any utensils to eat it with. And there's a grate in the floor that has to be used for a commode. It's just abominable.
Those who pose a physical threat to themselves or others can also be put in a restraining chair, their arms, legs, and torsos strapped down for hours. There's no psychotherapy, no real counseling, and some inmates have trouble getting the medications they need. But Yoder says the restraining chair does keep suicidal inmates from ruining their jailer's reputation.
The jail is operated by a sheriff who's elected, of course, and one bad case of something terrible happening, someone killing themselves in jail, just really tarnishes the record, the image of the jail. So they take all kinds of precautions.
Even if courts do not order prisons in America to improve medical care for inmates, costs may drive change. Virginia, for example, pays about $25,000 per inmate each year to provide medical services. After the age of 60, that number more than doubles, and the prison population is aging.
You can build new prisons or you can build college classrooms, but you can't do both.
Mark Maurer of the Sentencing Project hopes the rising price of prisons will force lawmakers to reconsider how the nation deals with crime. To solve this problem, he says, the United States should reform its penal system overall, relying more on drug treatment programs, rehabilitation, and education, locking people up only as a last resort.
It doesn't do much good to just sound tough on crime. We need to be smart on crime. We need to be looking at programs and policies that can actually provide safety, not just sound good in an election campaign.
Meanwhile, lawsuits over health care in prisons and jails are pending or were recently settled not only in Virginia and California, but in at least 10 other states. Time will tell whether court rulings will bring the changes needed to assure adequate medical care in America's prisons. For DW, I'm Sandy Houseman.